Good morning, everyone. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life. By your grace, we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, by his wounds. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, white as snow, no other fountain I know, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, Jesus.
Thank you, Vicki. Wonderful. Morning, everybody. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for bringing out this morning your people to hear your word. Father, those who did not come, could not make it, decided they didn't want to. Father, show them the error of their ways. Because for every single one of us, your plan involves the local church. Regardless of what people think and say, it's face to face. Yes, it is. In these post-pandemic times, you can go to church. So get up, get ready, and go once again. Your testimony depends upon it. Your spiritual growth, likewise, depends upon it. The little snippets you get aren't going to help you. They're not going to sustain you. They're not going to feed you. You need cohesive messages with correlation from the Word of God, even messages you must hear more than once to get something very important and significant that the Lord has placed in the message and transmitted by what's called the foolishness of preaching. And sometimes we feel very foolish, but that's what God has ordained, the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And so, Father, thank you for all these things. Bless the message as it goes forth. May we be extremely objective this morning as we look at what man can do and what you will do, what you've promised to do, and try to reconcile those two and balance the scales. In Jesus' name, precious and holy name, we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, check this out, Virtual Christianity. Ouch. Sunday, June 6th, 2021. I'm afraid that there are some here today, and I can't help it. I have to do what I do. There are some here and others elsewhere. You say, why do you ever have to say something that offends people? Because that's what the Word of God does best. It offends human viewpoint. It straightens out our thinking, or it surely should. Shows us where we're off. Shows us where we're wrong. Shows us where human viewpoints crept in and pushed out divine viewpoint, truth and reality. And so there'll be people here today that don't like what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. But be that as it may, the truth is never popular. And those who populate the Laodicean church of the last days, here we are, Lord, are so wrapped up in the virtual rather than the real, the technical rather than the personal, that they can't tell the difference, nor do they really care to. Galatians 5:1. We're going to get to our Ephesians passage, Ephesians 2:8. By grace you have been saved through faith, but for now let's do this. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom, liberation, true manumission or freedom, that Christ set us free. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin, but now we are the slaves of righteousness, presenting our members to God. Remember from Romans 6? And the cross crossed us out. God couldn't fix us, so he had to kill us. And guess what? Christ in you is the righteousness of God and the righteousness God accepts. You can do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say, and think whatever you want to think, and it doesn't matter. What matters is what God says, what God does, and what God thinks. It was for freedom, for the purpose of freedom, that Christ died in your place, for you, as you, instead of you, to set you free. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. So he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Keep standing firm. Don't waffle or waver. Keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke, a zugos. You say, you always wanted to know what a yoke was in the Greek, didn't you? It's a zugos. You might even remember it. John will remember it. John, write that down, Zugos, Z-U-G-O-S. So you can add that to your repertoire. He has a whole list of words he's learned. And some people don't like the Greek. Too bad. We speak Greek here sometimes. Not for the ones that don't want it or don't like it, but for the ones who do. So you say, well, I don't like it. It doesn't do anything for me. I can't understand it. You're not trying very hard or trusting God. It can really enhance your understanding. The only time I bring it up is because I like it. No, that's not why, because it's important. So, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, any yoke of slavery. A yoke is something that one is forced to wear, right? A yoke. And that limits their freedom and their function. It creates pressure and discomfort when it is resisted. That's what a yoke is. So it makes the oxen go in a straight line because it puts pressure upon them and makes them go where they wouldn't otherwise go. So can you tell me what you think most of us are yoked to? I'll give you three guesses. Your computer, your mobile device, Facebook. I think so. You'll see this morning that the Word of God has directly addressed these things in these the times that we live in. If you're like so many and must have the live feed and the ability to see what others are doing, saying, or seeing, you just might be a cyber slave. Living a life of virtual Christianity. Here's another question. Do you talk to God or do you text him? I text him. He's too busy for me to talk to him, to call him direct. Don't text me. Call me. I'll answer the phone if I have it. And if I don't want to, I won't. That's the beauty of having the phone. If you want to answer it, you can. You know, just like your home phone. You know, how many people answer their home phone now? Nobody answers it. They just see who it is first. They might answer it if it's somebody they want to talk to. But they can so easily say, oh, I didn't know you called. Even on the cell phone, I didn't know you called. Sure you do. Sure you did. Sure you know. Anyway. The next question is, the first question was, do you talk to God or text him? The second question is, do you feed in church or from home on the internet? Where do you get most of your teaching and learning? At church? Fewer and fewer people are going to church. The last I saw is around 50% of people who used to attend church don't go anymore. Haven't gone since the pandemic hit. Guess what it did? Gave them a good excuse not to go to church, not to get up on Sunday morning, not to plan for the midweek service to be there. There's other things that are far more important than that. You say you're preaching to the choir. These are all people who are here. I'm hoping the people who aren't hear this. Some of them still listen. They need to be here. You say, why do you say that? Because it's true. That's why. And I don't care if you don't like it. Too bad. You know, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to risk you hating me. Anyway, so, you say that's a little extreme. Not for some people. That doesn't take much. All of a sudden, it'll turn and kill you. Like the Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine or give holy things to dogs because they'll hurt you. Anyway, I don't care about that. The Lord protects me. So I can talk about people that can't get a grip on gender identity or think that all religions are good and lead to the same place. All that nonsense. But we'll get there before the message is over. Anyway, so do you feed in church or from home on the internet? Where do you spend your free time? See, just as in the past, we were warned by pastors and encouraged to attend church, the TV ministries, as good as they are, and radio ministries are no substitute, and internet ministries are no substitute for active participation and the joy that comes from face-to-face teaching and fellowship. Likewise, the internet, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook, no matter how you cut it, it's no substitute for the Word of God in the local assembly. You know what it does? It takes the you out of church. Get that? It takes the you out of church. So what do you have left? Church. And too many of you, in the sound of my voice, are missing. And our church needs you in order to be the church that God designed us to be. He used the foolishness of preaching to save people from negative trends in their lives who are out there in the cosmos on vacation, so they think, getting into that dangerous place in the last days called the Kalipas, the chasma, the open gaping pit in which almost everyone falls in, taking up, instead of the real, a form of godliness, virtual Christianity, rather than the real deal. So, come to church, put the U in, get you back in. Your part is essential. I wrote to everybody that used to come, send them emails or try to call them and invite them to come back. I said, there's no reason good enough not to come back unless you found somewhere else to go, but none of them have. Whatever. You know, it'd be okay if they went somewhere else. I would encourage them to do that, but they haven't. Most of them haven't. They don't go anywhere now. It's easier not to go anywhere. So they've become offended by something I said or did. And I didn't do it on purpose, but I came across it in the Word of God, and I had to proclaim it, and that's the way it goes. And this is not a popularity contest, and I don't want to be popular. I can't afford to be popular. I dare not be popular. Or the Lord will make me real unpopular by taking me away. And I don't want that to happen, not yet. I fear that after I preach to others, I'll be disapproved. So, who am I speaking to? You know who you are. You used to be so much a part of our Sunday and Tuesday services. Your presence encouraged others. Your comments and insights were so edifying to one and all. And now we're missing your portion, your essential portion. It's not the same without you. This is no time in history to stop coming. Rather, it's such a time, according to Hebrews 10:25, to do it much more with greater frequency and urgency than ever before. So more about this in a moment. Now we can go to our passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. You know, you have been, are being, and shall be saved by grace and through faith. It, salvation, is the free gift, doron, of God. And then verse 9 says, ook, not ex, out from, ergon, works, Then it says hina, which introduces the purpose clause. That means for the purpose that, or that not someone may, tis, not someone, should boast. There's no boasting involved. There's no boasting in oneself, ever, where the work of another is concerned. And here we boast, not in ourselves, but in the work of God. Where faith in Christ is the only issue, there's no boasting, except for glorying in him and in the cross, Galatians 6:14. May it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you boasting in the cross of Christ? Through it and through him, the world has been crucified to you. You wonder why you don't fit? You shouldn't try to fit. You are a round peg, or a square peg in a round hole. Yes, you're in the world, in John 17:16, but you're not of it. And you don't want to be. You shouldn't want to be. He says, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This will unfold in your life if you continue. Romans 3:27 says, where then is boasting? Can you boast because you did something? No, you didn't do anything. It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? A law of works? No. But by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified. That means declared righteous by God. In right standing with God. As righteous as God is with his own righteousness and the righteousness of Christ, that man is justified by faith, by simply and by only believing, apart from the works of the law. Whereas boasting, it's excluded on the basis of faith, wherein we believe what God has done in Christ on our behalf. Faith is the momentary, here's my definition of faith, once again, I've done it many times, I change it and tweak it a little bit. Faith is the momentary, voluntary, non-meritorious perception and consent to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of eternal salvation through faith in the person and finished work sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's boast about him. Let's boast about that, nothing else. Jeremiah 9:23, one of the most famous of all the boasting verses, eliminating boasting on man's part. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the powerful man, the mighty man, the man with political clout or power, boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he knows and understands me. Is that where your boast is? Do you know the Lord, and you know his word, and you worship him in spirit and in truth. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises chesed, grace and mercy, justice, and tzedakah, righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Is that what you see? Is that what you look at? Is that the God you know? What kind of work could you do to earn or deserve something as valuable as eternal bliss? With every heavenly delight in the presence of Jesus Christ, on the day when you breathe rarefied air, being where he is and going everywhere he goes, living daily in his presence, it'll be so wonderful. You'll weep tears of joy continually. God is called in James 1:17 the Father of lights. And Jesus called himself the light of the world. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, the light of the glory of God that shines from the face of Jesus shines into our hearts and shines out from us into a dark world culture and society. I thought it was enlightened today. It's darker than ever. One that's so confused that it can't understand or make sense out of gender identity. Have you noticed it permeating everything, the airways? I'm changing banks because Dollar Bank's promoting it. Probably PNC is too. Or, can't make sense out of gender identity, parental authority. You're not even allowed to punish your children or discipline them. Don't lay a hand on them. You'll go to jail. They'll go into the foster care system where they'll be treated much more kindly and abused in every way, secretly. You have to warn your children, you don't even know what you're doing or saying. Don't listen to those people at school when they're telling you, tell us if your parents ever spanked you. We'll send you away to foster care. They'll treat you so nice there. Or you go live with daddy or go live with mommy. You don't need daddy and mommy. You don't need to be in a place where there's disagreement or conflict of any kind. You just need to be in a neutral place. Here, have a cell phone. Get on the internet. Enjoy yourself. There's your babysitter. Oh, they've made a terrible mistake in doing these things and following the zeitgeist, the ghost of time immemorial in the last days of the church. So, they can't even handle anything like that. Parental authority, why marriage and family require a father and a mother, or that freedom is maintained by responsibility. No, you give freedom to everybody, whether they're responsible or not. All seems so unclear. Without the absolute truth, unchanging reality, ageless and timeless wisdom of God's word, these will continue to elude the masses. According to John 17:16, we're in the world, but not of it. We don't fit, and we should not try to. This, my friends, is the worldwide trend, sponsored and perpetuated on the World Wide Web, www, that gets a hold of almost everybody and does not easily let them go. It is virtual, which means it contains powerful computer-generated images with an alternate reality. It's a zeitgeist. It's a ghost. An illusion wreaking havoc and ruining countless millions. Now go ahead and say it and admit it if it's true. My life is Facebook. I still love you, but I liked you a lot more before Facebook than I do now. I still love you, but I liked you better. It's become evident to me and to others that you need to get off Facebook and get your face back in the good book. See if you can devote the time spent viewing Facebook to studying, meditating on God's word. You say, but I'm looking at stuff like that there. Whatever. Argue with God, not with me. It would redeem the time presently being wasted. Here's a good test. Stay off Facebook for 30 days. I'll bet you can't. See if you're able to break the chain. And if you can't, assess your addiction. You're not just addicted to alcohol or drugs. You can be addicted to these things, and they're probably more devastating than that in some instances. Get back to church. Add the Tuesday service. Not because of me, for your sake and sanity in this insane world, which is God's rehab prescription to be free from the subtle bondage once and for all. Contrary to popular thinking, our church, this church, can and will exist and grow without it. See, before we got on it, we had 50 people on Sunday, 25 on Tuesday, with a half dozen children. Now, where are they? They're all gone. They don't come back. Now we don't have anywhere near that many. Why? I think it's because we compromised. I should have never given in. Likewise, we were getting at least 800 listeners per month on sermon audio, oftentimes well over 1,000, before we linked Facebook. But now, we're back down in the 400s. Barely. Now, instead of our people listening to or re-listening to sound teaching with correlation, they're feeding on scraps, which will not nourish or sustain spiritual growth. You may disagree, but here's what we're doing. Our church is going under the ban. What's that? I'm going to tell you what it is. Turn to or mark down this verse, Deuteronomy 7, 25, and Deuteronomy 13, 17. The Word of God addresses these very things. Touch not the unclean thing. See, but it's being used for good. Really? Look at the result. Psalm 37, 37. Mark the perfect man. What does he do? He doesn't stay. He doesn't sit on his phone, use his mobile device, have it attached to his hand. He goes to church. And it's very personal. It's up close and personal. He calls and doesn't text. You say, well, that's just, you're an old fogey. Yes, I am. Thank you. Deuteronomy 7:25. The graven images. What are graven images? Computer-generated images. Of their gods. Everything you could think of to worship. You are to burn them with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them. But they're worth so much. Yeah, right. Nor take it for yourselves, or you will be snared by it. Oh, not you. That's talking about other people. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. Now Deuteronomy 13:7 gets even more specific. It says, nothing from that which is put under the ban shall cling to your hand. Listen to this. In order that the Lord may turn from his burning anger and show mercy to you and have compassion on you, listen to this, and make you increase, just as he has sworn to your fathers. Like Elijah did in 1 Kings 18, we're going to pour water on the sacrifice and over the altar and drench everything and watch God send fire, demonstrating his power and reality in this place. So starting today, I already did it, we're getting off and staying off. You can do whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do. You do whatever you want. Use it if you must. I can't waste precious time looking at any more of the deep thoughts and insights submitted, most of which are plagiarized. Say if you got it from somebody else. Don't let us find out you didn't and that you just copied somebody. Do I do that in my messages? Never! Never. You can't. Let it be yours that you can communicate something wonderful. Oh, heavens. You can't grow in grace and knowledge through Facebook or virtual reality, only by the living word taught by a gifted communicator in a local assembly, treating a wide variety of topics with emphasis upon the mystery found in the 13 epistles of Paul, and then meditated upon and studied out with a daily regimen of disciplined learning. The freedom you gain will be remarkable. John 8:31-32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We dare not let go of the real and take up the virtual in its place. Now look at 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to show you the open gaping pit that so many have fallen into. You didn't even know it. You fell in. If you really reflect, you'll see that your life is so much different now than it used to be because of technology. Am I against technology? Not at all. When used properly, it's fine. 2 Timothy 3:1. Realize this, the Apostle Paul speaking, mystery truth. In the last days, kalipas, which means perilous and dangerous, from the root kosma, which is a gaping pit. Difficult, dangerous times are a-coming. For men will be lovers of self, all things promoted by technology. Lovers of money. You can make a lot of money with that. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen to this one. Holding to a morphosis, a cheap substitute, one that's virtual, of godliness, although they say no to the true power, that is, its real power. Does this sound like you and me? At least to some degree. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose. He really looked into it. Faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings. That's all real stuff. Such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Not of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the sacred writings, the holy scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired, God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You want to do good work? Dump Facebook and listen to every message twice. I assure you, there's something you missed or something you need to hear again so that you might remember it when certain things occur in the near future, so that the word might be preemptive. That's what happens. That's what it's for. Spare you all kind of misery. Give God every opportunity to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, and instruct you in righteousness. A big part of it occurs at church. But only the humble will hear and be glad. Psalm 34:2, and only the meek will he teach. In Psalm 25:9. You read that psalm, Psalm 25, it's unbelievable. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, Paul says, but in case I am delayed, I'm writing to you so that you'll know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. For those who stop coming or do not think it's important to attend every service, we only have two. Each time we meet, the Lord, who is our guest of honor, who is present, wherever two or three gather, wonders where you are. Not really, he knows where you are, and he sees your lack of interest. Really? Yeah. Admit it. You've cooled off and become lukewarm. Admit it. Church attendance is down by nearly 50%. Though there's no restriction, hasn't been, for churches, so many people have not returned because they are much more comfortable and it is much more convenient to stay home and practice virtual Christianity. They don't have to go to bed early on Saturday night. They stay out late doing God knows what and get to sleep in on Sunday morning. You can surely get used to that. They can get a message on the internet from their latest favorite teacher or look at the latest and greatest Facebook offerings that have appeared in their inbox. No need for the hassle of getting ready and going to church. I'm afraid we will never see some of you ever again this side of eternity. This is not how you finish well. Please, I beg you, come back in person, face to face, so that we might encourage one another and that our joy may be full. Listen to what John says in 2 John 12 from the New Living Translation. He says, well, I have much more to say to you. He wrote him a letter. But I don't want to say it in a letter, for I hope to visit you very soon and talk with you face to face, that our joy may be full. Romans 1:11, Paul says, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. I might express my spiritual gift, that you may be strengthened or established. That is, that I might be encouraged together with you, that you'll encourage me and I'll encourage you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. It can only happen one way. At the risk of being an old fogey, I also hope you get into the Word like you used to, so that God can heat you white hot once again, like you used to be. And we pray every week on Tuesday and every day, those who pray, that it would be so. Spirit speaks in no uncertain terms that in the last days many will depart from the faith, just a sign of the times, giving heed to wandering spirits and the doctrines of demon spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. False teaching and planao. That means wandering away into space, cyberspace. Never forget who controls the airwaves, who it is that inhabits the AER, the atmosphere, and communicates anonymously with virtual images and messages through the World Wide Web, propaganda, disinformation, false ideas, and demonic lies. They're all in there. Unless you're very discerning, you may not figure out which are which. Which witch is a witch. And don't forget that Satan is the master of the half-truth, as well as the whole lie, which he uses with subtle precision to take captive as many as he possibly can, While the Lord only deals in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which will make you free, keep you free from deception and destruction. So what do? Learn some new verses. Been a while since you learned a new verse. Learn some Greek grammar. Call and talk to or go and meet face-to-face and befriend a fellow believer. Share your portion in Christ. It's so much more meaningful and memorable, not to mention edifying and encouraging both ways. Stop liking people on Facebook and following them on Twitter. Rather, love one another and follow Jesus Christ, the church. He bids you come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, take his zugos, his yoke, upon you. Learn of, from, and all about him. For his zugos, his yoke, is easy, and his burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. And you'll find rest unto your souls. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke, zugos, of slavery. 2 Timothy 3:12, holding to a morphosis, a cheap substitute, one that's virtual, of godliness, although they have denied, they say no, to the true power. That is the true power of the word. It's alive and powerful. Deuteronomy 7:25, the graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire, or you will be snared by it. For it's an abomination to the Lord. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. Deuteronomy 13:17. Nothing from that which is put under the ban shall cling to your hand, in order that the Lord may turn from his burning anger and show mercy to you and have compassion on you and make you increase, just as he has sworn. Do I think this will be considered one of my hallmark messages today? I don't think so. But is it an important one? I know it is. At least for some who have veered off course and are set a wandering in cyberspace without a church home and family that grounds and stabilizes them in 1 Timothy 3:15. Here we have in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times, and you don't deny that's true, that that's where we are, some will apostasia, depart or fall away from the faith, paying attention to wandering spirits and the doctrines of demons. Let us leave the virtual behind and get back to the real thing, the right way. Though there's a way that seems right, it does not end up being right, and ends up being very destructive. God's way is always right. Man's way is seldom, if ever, right. I just say never right in and of itself. Escape the trend of virtual Christianity and get real, be real, stay real. And for we all have lots of learning. We still have lots of learning and lots of growing to do. That's our message for today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these things that really do come to roost and come home to roost in many lives. Father, do your thing. Cause this place to overflow as we pour water on the sacrifice, not taking the devices of man. You say, well, we're supposed to be wise like servants and harmless as doves and use the unrighteous mammon for the kingdom. Whatever you say is right to you. We're not right in the word in the Lord. But, Lord, do it. You do it. And glorify your name. This morning you brought people back that haven't been here for a long time, and you had children, even added children today, which is just a wonderful thing to see. And I know you're going to do it. We're praying to that end. And we're not going to do anything except trust you. And everyone who trusts you cannot be and never will be disappointed. And we know it's true. Father, we're standing firm in our faith, looking to you, trusting you, hearing your word, loving your word, loving your church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. In Jesus' name, we pray. If I could have my ushers, please, Vicky, if you would get ready. Father, bless the offering in Jesus' holy and precious and perfect and wonderful name. Amen.
We could all stand.